So let's talk a little bit about the team performance dashboard. And I've heard performance managers describe this report as a good one for dealerships to get into after they've mastered the enterprise performance report. And so, Kevin, I'm hoping you could walk us through some of the information on this report.
Absolutely. Of course. So at the top of the page, you're going to see where our team goal numbers are. You also see your on the left-hand side to right where your sales and your top performers, where you're trending, your AI tabs. You also see the lead assignments, who has your leads, who has more of them, where your internet, phone, and walk-in areas are at, or how many you have for internet, phone, or walk-in. Once you get the leads, you got to communicate with them. So how well is our team communicating with our customer? You can also see it by person. You can see their individual activity. And once we're engaging with them, hopefully it leads to an appointment. So the next step is clearly, like, who's setting the appointments? Who's not contributing to the appointments? Once again, if your appointments are low, who's the person that's preventing it and how can we coach that? Now, once we set the appointment, let's hope they get to the dealership. A lot of managers want to know where are all my customers at? You know, I don't want to leave it in the hands of the salesperson. So team visits is a perfect spot to go to see all unsold traffic. It doesn't matter who it is. Mm. After that, now I want to kind of see, now can I communicate with them? So you do have all your team tasks. When they came into the dealership, did I get all their information? How well am I performing with my response time and with AI, my overall sentiment in the messages? Does it make sense? Are they positive, negative, or neutral? You'll see your team funnel one more time that's on the dealer dashboard and my lead performance on internet, phone, walk-in, et cetera, and how I can do that. And last but not least, it also shows your road to the sale. This is everything every single manager wants to see. It's all in one report, and it snapshots your team that you selected.
Thank you. And so I think maybe we should focus a little bit on team appointments. We've talked a lot about communications and different close rates in different segments. So what are some of the benchmarks you're looking at, Kevin, when we talk about team appointments?
So when we talk about appointments, it all starts with receiving the lead, okay? And one of the things that a lot of managers ask is, you know, like, well, how I need to sell more cars, I need to set more appointments, as we talked about before. Well, it starts with who's controlling the communication. So if we got internet leads, well, who has them? This is an example. One salesperson here has 88 internet leads, and the other one has 54, and one has 4, and one has 3. So it really shows who's taking the volume of your opportunity. Also shows you have one salesperson that took 15 phone ups, and the next closest person is 11, and from there it's 8. So, I mean, what are we doing? Who's taking the phone ups? Who's not putting them in the system so we can't follow up with them? So it really gives a manager a really good snapshot on where their leads are.
Before you move on from leads, yep. I want to point out that hot section there that this store is kind of underutilizing, it appears. But, you know, back in the day, we used to, you know, I used to have my sales team every Friday, they'd bring me their top 10 list, mm-hmm. right? And and they'd give me notes on what's going on with each of, you know, each customer, their best, right, opportunities, right? We're judging a book by its cover, obviously, but, you know, we do that as salespeople. We lot drop people out on the lot that we think aren't going to buy a car today to take that fresh up that looks like they need to replace that hoopty, right? So a lot of dealers don't understand that flame button on the customer dashboard. That doesn't change the process. It flags customers to say that's a better customer than these other customers. And when your salespeople do that, they can help highlight those best customers and allow the managers to use this report to drill in and see here are all the entire store's hot customers and then measure and monitor how are we following up with those. So I think it's a really underutilized functionality that can be really effective.
It's also really good to point out that now that hot section is on the coaching dashboard.
Good point.
Yes.
And it forces the salesperson to jump into their own coaching dashboard, which basically mimics, you know, what we're looking at here, but on their own personal level. So they can find all of their hot customers sitting right there.
And to that point, if you've had salespeople that have been on VIN for years, up until that coaching dashboard came out, there wasn't a real big reason to use the hot button.
Right.
So they may not even know that that even shows up on the coaching dashboard. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something you want to review with your team to make sure that they understand how that can be utilized. I think most stores are just using it to flag customers that they think need some extra attention in the sense that they're going to buy a car soon. Let's make sure that we're paying close attention to them, particularly if you struggle with task completion or everything else that most dealers struggle with. It allows us to keep just an extra close eye on those on those best opportunities?
I think I'm going to expand a little bit with Mario saying, you don't have to wait for a task to follow up with a customer.
Yeah.
Okay, and when you have a hot bucket, those are your highly engaged customers. Why are we waiting to follow up?
Tasks are the minimum amount of effort the dealer should expect the salesperson to put into 100%. Following up with a customer.
And why are we waiting until a task pops up to talk to, you know, let's say our active leads with engagement? They're communicating with you. Why aren't we continuing that conversation?
Exactly.
Because if they're talking to you, they're talking to ABC Motors down the street.
Yeah.
You know, so getting them to continue that interaction is super important. Don't wait until the system tells you to.
Also, it could be used for utilizing the system wrong. You know, managers, you know, how many times have you seen a salesperson make, you know, 16 phone calls in 2 minutes? You don't want to tell them that you see that, because salespeople, like water, they're going to find a way to figure it out. They'll just space out their phone calls. But if we know that they're not doing it, or like here it says last day since last attempt, they're all zero. Zeros are today. Mm-hmm. If you have everyone in there like attempted, but day since actual contact is 02, investigate. Click the user. If it's in blue, it's clickable for you. Click into it. See if they're really making the phone call. Is it really contact? Or do they say contact and texting? Because that's not a contact.
Yeah.
So be truthful to the system, because the system, when you look at it, is going to give you info. And if it's wrong, that's like putting in the wrong address on your GPS, taking you to the wrong location. And that ruined your goal as a dealer. So I'd rather see a salesperson be truthful to a task than lie. Did you make the call? Just put no if you didn't do it.
Would it be a good time for us to talk a little bit about appointments and some of the metrics that we would like to see there?
Well, I'd like to really highlight the communication. And this is where a lot of dealerships, and this is everything we're talking about, managers that are listening to this and watching this. If we scroll down to the team communication part, this is where the rubber meets the road. Right, we're sitting here talking to our customers, but they're not responding. There's one salesperson here had 171 outbound messages and only 7 people responded. And when you see that he said 171 messages out and 7 people responded, I have to look as a manager and go, you're saying something wrong. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a quick example. I had a dealership that had 511 outbound emails and 0 responses. So the cool part about this report, if it's blue, it's clickable for you. Click on the 171 or the 511, and it gives you a list of every single message that they sent out. It turns out they were all blank.
Wow.
All blank. It's a dear customer name, nothing in the middle, and their signature. 511 times. So we had a coaching opportunity. All of a sudden, people started responding. People started setting appointments, started selling more cars. It was just...
Imagine
that. It's just finding one thing. That's it. So I really like, and I'll give you a little other trick, managers. I'll give you a little trick with this report. Run this report with active only. Remove the sold, remove the lost. Because you sold them, great. That means the communication worked, the appointments worked. They showed up to the dealership, they bought a car, great. You couldn't make contact with somebody, and you marked them lost. Okay, get them out of the report. I want to see what my team is doing right now with the active people to get them to the showroom. It's a little manager hack. Just look at active only, and you'll see the performance on the outbound versus inbound. If they're not responding, opportunity to investigate. I think that's a huge point.
There's also a lot to look at here, and I think that's the point of this conversation, where to focus. You know, because if you try to talk about everything, you're never going to use it, right? It's going to be analysis paralysis. But just focusing in on these little sections that we're pointing out here can make a big impact on your store. You know, as an example in this team communication area, what's jumping out to me here is they're, you know, averaging, we got, you know, 2197 emails out to 1156 unique customers. Well, easy math is you're averaging 2 emails per opportunity. As a store, how do you feel about that? You probably are generating more than 2 email tasks, unless, of course, you're not getting the email address. We talked about that in another segment, but, you know.
Kind of important.
You know, this is kind of important. But same with texting, right? You know, we've sent 2,700 text messages. That's to 1,300 people. You're averaging 2 text messages per opportunity. If you only tried twice, 2 emails and 2 text messages, you know, on an internet lead or a phone lead or a walk-in lead, like, what do we expect the results to be?
Right.
Or if you're getting the results that are okay and you're pretty happy with them and your store is successful, how many more cars do you think we could sell if we increase that to 4 mm-hmm. per opportunity? Because we know, and for those of you that have been sitting through these segments back to back, you'll hear me say it again, the math and science of the car business is increased productivity equals more contact, more appointments, and more car deals. It comes down to productivity. What are we doing with our time? Mm-hmm. And that's how you got to measure that.
It doesn't matter how we take a look at the data, right? We all see it through a different lens.
Absolutely.
Between the three of us, right? So getting with your performance manager is going to be really important. But I think it's also important to acknowledge the fact that in every single report, all we've really uncovered is that we are not communicating with our customers.
Mm-hmm. It couldn't be more clear.
Right. It is a reoccurring theme within each report to just say, hey, have we lost this? Is this something we've never done as far as the communication is concerned? But, I mean, come on.
I know.
Well, during the pandemic, they didn't have to.
You're right.
So these are
that's why we're doing this.
This is new.
These are new habits that we have to form with a lot of the salespeople that we have on staff, mm-hmm. And hold them accountable.
Can I just make one public announcement here for everybody that's listening and watching this video? VIN brochures have never intended to be the first initial message for an internet lead. Mm-hmm. So if your first message is, thank you for submitting your lead on this year, make, model, here's the brochure. That's what they clicked on, and you have to engage with them. Don't send them back the information again, because they just sent it to you to get more information. So there was a place for it, and it is not in the first message of an internet lead.
I think what we can all agree on is that things have shifted, and we don't need the customer to commit to an appointment. We don't need them to be physically in front of us. We need to figure out how to communicate with them properly to get them to commit to a sale. So keep that in mind when you're talking to your teams about, what does that first response look like, whether it's via an internet lead or, honestly, just a phone up. What are we saying to the customer to get them to commit?
What do the customers want when they call us? We talked about it earlier. They want availability. They want to know what the best price is. They want to know payment, trade, credit. They want specific things, and those are things that they cannot get online.
Maybe we should talk a little bit about appointments for and some of the benchmarks we would be looking for, because some people still do need an appointment to close that deal. So I'm just wondering, Angie, if you have any thoughts on, individual salespeople, what type of appointment volume should they be setting every week, or any other standards that you recommend?
Yeah, I think out of all opportunities, setting somewhere around 25 to 35%, you're kind of maximizing on the opportunities that you have in front of you.
Okay. And do you guys have any other comment on?
As far as goals, I think the first goal is everyone should have a goal of setting one appointment a day. Mm-hmm. The appointment setting is literally the only thing that we have control of that can make a difference to our bottom line, in the sense of we can know from your data how many attempts does it take for us to make contact, and of that, how many appointments are we going to set? So if we need to sell, if a salesperson says, if I ask Johnny how many cars they want to sell, and they say 10 cars, it's not, all right, go get them, Tiger. It's okay, well, how are you going to achieve that? If you want to guarantee Johnny sells 10 cars, we got to talk about how he's going to set 40 appointments. Because if he sets 40 appointments, 20 are going to show up, 10 are going to buy. Guaranteed. More likely, he's going to sell like 12 or 15 cars. But we can control how he achieves 40 appointments by how much productivity he generates. Because if we have a contact percentage, then we know of all those numbers, X number of attempts are going to equal Y number of contacts, Z number of appointments, and car deals. So I think appointment setting is the controllable metric in the data.
Yeah, I really agree with that. Going back to the basic of everything we're talking about, it falls into the lap of communication and what we're saying. We talked a little bit about, what are we saying to get the appointment or asking for the appointment. Sometimes we're asking for the appointment right away. Thank you for your interest. When would you like to come in and look at the vehicle?
Yeah, before we've shown any value.
Before we show any value. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear that from the first introduction. But we say that the same type of emotion hits a customer when we talk about how great we are as a store and you're going to love your buying experience here. And when can you come in immediately? Those are not the times to put that on a platform. You need to earn that opportunity. Ask a question that they're going to want to ask to get that appointment. And I have some dealers. Let me give you one quick example. They say, thank you for submitting your lead on this vehicle. My name is Kevin. My job is to help you check on availability, get you pricing and out the door numbers. Do you need that right away, or are you still trying to land on the right vehicle first?
I like that.
So when you're looking at that as a consumer, that's everything that they want. And they're more likely to respond to that. But you gotta have a plan. Mm-hmm. If they say, yeah, I need an out the door number, great. Are you replacing a vehicle, or are you adding another one to your driveway? And continue to use right. the tactics that we've lost over this COVID period of time and put them back in place.
That's an excellent point. It sounds a lot like block and tackle discovery.
Yeah, that's sales 101. You have an objection, attack it. Be in control of it instead of, you know, you hear it all day long. You know, thank you for calling ABC Motors. How can I help you today? That's an open platform for them to go, I need your best price on this vehicle. And then you're sitting there going, well, when do you want to come in? Right. That's not a good tactic to get it because you offered an opportunity to answer whatever they wanted. So control it. Thank you for calling. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with? You know, what vehicle are you interested in? I'm interested in this vehicle. Well, my name's Kevin. My job's to help you select the right vehicle, get you out the door numbers and payments. You don't have to buy today, do you? And they're all going to say, no, good, then we got some time. Would you be replacing a vehicle or adding another one to your driveway? Well, we don't have in our culture right now a plan for when we answer the phone or respond to get that appointment. And that's what we have to focus on. It's that communication, goals, and plans.
I kind of follow the same path with some of my dealers, too. It's really all about the next step. But, you know, next steps are, would you like to come in and check out the vehicle, right? If so, I've got this time and this time available. Seems pretty standard. The second one is, I know this is the vehicle for me. Please send me a credit application, and then we talk about how we're going to call you. We'll take a deposit, and we'll schedule your delivery within the next 48 or 72 hours. Or the third one is, I'm still in the research phase. I have questions about this vehicle, or I'm considering whatever other brands, makes and models. Conversely, I ask the question instead of saying the question in that. So it's not a closed-ended question. We're not expecting a yes or no answer for these. We need to start that engagement, right? Because that's what's going to lead us
back to basics.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what's going to lead us to the sale. And again, they don't have to come in. So number two, getting that credit app, it's a little scary for a lot of dealers. But it's useful. It's a useful tool.
That's a really good point. And I want to take a moment just to focus on one particular aspect of this report. We saw it a little bit earlier, but down at the very bottom, when we look at the road to the sale, and we look at the write-up section. Mario, you've told me you like to look at this with your dealers. Why is that?
Well, I think it's probably one of the more valuable portions of this report, simply because it allows us to focus in and ensure that we are following up with the customers that are closest to buying a car. And what I mean by that is, I think we'd all agree, if a customer has come in, they've test driven, they've looked at numbers, now we're talking about how to pay for the car, not what car am I interested in, right? Mm-hmm. So they're lowest in the funnel. For those stores that are properly completing their road to the sale steps, which some are better than others, and maybe after this conversation you'll see some more value in it, is we have the ability to show you, here are all of your customers that you have gotten to the write-up stage this month. Mm-hmm. And if we are, if I'm working with a salesperson, and they say, it's the 30th of the month, you're one car deal away from, a bonus, where in Vint Solutions are you going to go to find that car deal? So I go through the desk log and, click in the customers. But using this section here allows me to just focus on the customers we showed numbers to. So we can click on write-up, and it'll show us all the customers that we showed numbers to this month and sort them by active. And so now I can see here all my customers that aren't lost or sold. They're still active in the system. When they came in, when's the last time we followed up, and when's the last time we made contact? So not only do we want to make sure that they're following up, but now maybe we need to rework that car deal. Maybe we need to step on that trade a nickel to earn their business this month. Or did we show them a lease? Let's just shoot them a lease and see if that, tickles their fancy. Or, maybe we need to show them a used car. Did you tell them about that pink Silverado we took in yesterday?
Pink.
Yeah. It's a one-off.
It's a one-off.
but I think being able to drill into that is a lot of value. And the good news is, for a dealer or a manager, you can see everything right here for the whole store. Salesperson can see this same information just for their customers on their version of this, which is the coaching dashboard for salesperson.
And from a leadership perspective, if I'm looking at this report and I see that we've had 231 visits and 80 manager TOs,
right?
There's
Thank God you said something. Oh, I'm so excited you said that.
We should be speaking to them, whether you do a TO first, you know, hey, my name's Angie, I'm one of the sales managers, I'm going to be getting you some more information on this, or if it's at the end, let's talk about what happened, right? As a management team, as a leadership team, you've been put in that position because somebody trusted what you did with your customers, right? You didn't just come right in as manager and never sell a car in your life. Take the time to load the lips of your sales team.
Mm-hmm.
It's
an opportunity.
It is an opportunity. Coaching 101.
Along with what you said, Angie, I 100% agree with you. The one thing that jumps out at me is 87 demos.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to look at 231 visits, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to look at the 87 demos, but look at the walk-arounds at 89, and the write-ups are at 86, and the trade appraisal at 53, and the manager too. Everything's in the 80s. Now, there's something I've learned a long time ago, is that emotion is stronger than reason. You know, it just as an example, if you don't like someone's significant other, you see something from a different vantage point. It's not emotional. And you might say to that person, I don't like who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And they'll get mad at you. They're like, you don't know them like I do, because they're emotionally vested,
mm-hmm.
right? And if that relationship ever dissolved, and they'll see it differently, like, yeah, you're right. You know, the person really wasn't as good as I thought they were, because they're not emotional anymore.
Right.
When you go in a demo, it strikes emotion. And that's why demos have always been a huge staple in our industry, because it drove emotion. And that's why customers didn't want to drive them, because they knew they'd fall in love with the vehicle and they would pay more for them. But that is something that we have gotten away from. So I'm glad you mentioned the manager turnover with their involvement, but also an opportunity to coach your salespeople. And why aren't you taking them on a demo? It could be inventory, it could be for 100 reasons, but that should be on your radar.
What if they don't want to? It's a new world out there.
Yeah.
People,
I mean, you can always ask. I mean, we used to ask all the time. You know what I used to do? I used to say, hey, listen, it's going to be about 10 minutes until they look at your vehicle. I'm going to run to the store and get coffee. You want to go with me? And I used to just get them a small coffee at the down-the-street coffee shop. I mean, you don't have to. We used to put on spiffs for demos. And we're like, listen, I know you really don't want to drive the car, but we got a spiff going on. And if I ever get everyone that I take for a demo, I get $10. I'm not telling you to lie to your customer, but there's always an opportunity to get them to go for a ride. Even if they just sit in the vehicle, and turn the engine on. They don't have to go for the ride. But
I think that's an excellent point, and probably a good place to conclude this discussion on the team performance dashboard. We hope this was valuable to everybody that watched, and please check out our other segments on different reports. Thank you.